Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And that's Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab and comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. It is a gorgeous Saturday morning here in Connecticut. So I don't blame you if you're outside doing something other than thinking about your computer, but we're here to help you out. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you're listening on the podcast, you guys all over the country, feel free to get online. Again, the station will pay for it, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Also, one thing I wanted to bring up. I am a WTIC or a news talk junkie, right? I started listening to the station when I was in college because my dad always listened to the station. And AM radio, right? I love AM radio. And nowadays, though, you may not even realize this, and even I didn't realize this, which is kind of a bummer that the station doesn't do more to promote it. But this whole WTIC news talk station, AM, is simulcast on the FM band. FM HD, 96.5 HD2 is a great way to listen to WTIC. Because, again, AM has its limitations, right? FM has a lot more depth to it as far as it goes. And HD radio is amazing. That's nothing like listening to high definition, right? So if you didn't know this, you can also pick up the same exact station on 96.5 HD2 if you have an HD radio. Most cars built, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago have them in there by default. So if you want to get a better signal, every now and again, check out the FM side of 96 of WTIC on 96.5 HD2. I had to bring it up because I've flipped over to that, just started listening to the station, and Ray Dunaway sounds completely different on HD. I mean, I've always thought Ray Dunaway sounds like Megatron from Transformers. I mean, I think he did. I would not Megatron. He sounds like the other guy. Who's the big truck? Not Megatron. Is it Megatron? No. Matt, you know who the guy who the truck was? Why can't I think of his name? Optimus Prime. There it is. Popped into my head. I think Ray Dunaway sounds just like Optimus Prime. You want to listen to prove me right? Go ahead and listen to 96.5 HD2. Listen to Ray in high definition, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, Optimus Prime's in the morning. It's awesome. He's got that big voice. So I want to bring that up. Other technology news. So, Bob, you have a story about Tesla, I think, that you wanted to bring up.
Oh, yeah. I got this one. It's really it has a nice picture. It didn't print, but Tesla worker filmed, allegedly
filmed,
sleeping with autopilot active.
Yep.
Okay. So YouTube user Mike Cagulada, easy for me to say, posted a video Thursday that allegedly shows a Tesla employee asleep at the wheel of a Tesla mobile service vehicle while the vehicle drove down the road, presumably on autopilot. Right. Near Tesla's operations in Fremont, California. The video sure makes it look like he's asleep, but there's no firm proof that this is the case. He could well be suffering from a medical issue instead of just taking a snooze.
Jeez.
Yeah, he could be suffering, you know.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Anyway.
The video's been posted on YouTube, obviously.
Yeah, it's not a very long video, and it's unclear just how this was happening. We take safety very seriously and are investigating this incident, said a Tesla spokesperson via text message.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla has received plenty of flack in recent months for how easy it is to bypass some of the safeguards in its autopilot system.
You just ignore them, frankly.
Yeah, autopilot buddy, anyone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you think the company would make extra sure that its system was being used as safely as possible, but this employee may not have received the memo.
Yeah.
Autopilot is capable of holding the vehicle in its lane and keeping up with traffic on highways. The system still requires full attention of the person behind the wheel because it could pass control back to the driver at a moment's notice.
Right.
In other words, it's your turn. Take it over.
I hear you. Well, the thing about this autopilot thing is that, and I talked about it before, A, they shouldn't have called it autopilot. It's basically cruise control assist. Elon, in his infinite wisdom, thought he was going to, you know, is saying this car can do more than it can. All it can do is keep you in its lane and keep you, because it sees the car in front of you, it can keep you at the right distance of the car in front of you. My Honda minivan can do it. They don't call it autopilot because it's not. There's a lot of cars that are 2018 vintage that nowadays can do exactly what quote-unquote Tesla autopilot can do. And when I drove my Honda minivan, I didn't even care that it had this feature, but 6 months into having the car, I'm like, I wonder what this button does. And it's pretty cool, right? It's like pucker factor 5 when you're driving down the highway, and it actually, you know, takes a curve for you, keeps you in the lane. It looks at the lines, and it also can keep distance of traffic ahead of you. You set your speed, and as long as there's a car at a certain distance, it'll keep your car at that distance. And
does
then
it brake for you?
Mine does not. It'll warn me and say brake. But every like 5 seconds, it says put your hands on the wheel, ding-a-ling. Put your hands on the wheel, ding-a-ling. Just believe it or not, just so you know, just like Teslas do. But again, all the Tesla owners say, "Oh, I've got autopilot." No, you don't. All you can do is sit in the lane. And again, there's some problems with this technology, right? I was driving, we go to the Outer Banks every year to North Carolina, and I tried this thing out going to the Outer Banks. And my car, it does brake for you. Yes, Bob. If you have it on, it does slow you down. I'm sorry, I misspoke. It does brake for you because if it sees something closer to you than you've expected, it'll slow you right down. So we're driving along the highway, and my car mistook the fact that there was a left exit, right? And it sees the car in front of me now pull off to the left, but it got close enough because when you're pulling off to the left exit, that right bumper of the car in front of you now is much closer than it would have been as you start to pass it. Well, my vehicle said, ho, 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 and it slowed me down to the point where my brother almost slammed in the back of me. Right? I got nobody in front of me. The car thought I did, and it, woof, I go from 65 to like 45. And my brother's like, what the heck are you doing? I'm like, oh, a stupid car. Because it doesn't seem like
it's a smart car.
No, it's damn right stupid. So this technology is still quite dumb. And I warn you guys, don't think of it as autopilot. It is not autopilot. And what Tesla did here was cause a bit of a problem. We have another story. The NTSB just released a story about a March crash. There was a Apple engineer who, of course, had his Tesla in autopilot. And the story from The Register, one of my favorite news sites, here's their headline. Funnily enough, When a Tesla accelerates at a barrier, someone dies. Basically, the Tesla itself was engaged, and it actually accelerated toward the barrier in the final seconds of its deadly crash. Apple engineer Walter Huang was driving his Model X P100D on a Silicon Valley freeway on the morning of March 23rd, when the car, under computer control, moved into the triangular space between the main 101 South Freeway and an exit ramp on the left, on the far left side heading to Highway 85. The autopilot was on, and it had been on for 19 minutes. Prior to what ended up being a fatal crash, as Huang's car drove into the barrier intersection at over 70 miles per hour. Immediately prior to the crash, the Tesla was traveling just below the speed limit of 65 and was following a car ahead of it as Huang traveled onto the second to left lane of the 101 freeway. The car then started steering toward the Highway 85 exit, following the lead of the car ahead of it. 4 seconds before impact, however, the autopilot was no longer following the lead vehicle and was in the triangular gore area that separated the two lanes, one going to 85 and one continuing on the 101. 3 seconds before impact, and while still in autopilot, the car accelerated from 62 to 70 miles per hour. So this can happen. I've seen it on my little Honda minivan. When you set the distance, you set your speed, and you say, you know what, I want to go 70. And if the car in front of you is doing 68, your vehicle, if it's set to this autopilot, will stay behind it at the right speed, at 68 speed. And that's the way it saves you from running into the car in front of you. The moment that car leaves, your car then will accelerate to the speed you set. And in this case, because that car pulled off, I think what happened was the Tesla just boom, sped up to the speed he had set, and he smashed right into the barrier and died. And you see that what happened here with it also affected an Audi and a Mazda. I'll put the link here for you, but they got to stop calling it autopilot. It's the same. I think Honda calls it like cruise control assist or something like that. It is cool technology, but you can't trust it yet, guys. And I think Elon needs to remarket it, rebrand it, and call it something else. Anything else you want to bring up, Bob?
Yeah, I got, I don't know. I got so much. We can talk about Potcoin, VPN filter.
Well, the Potcoin is interesting. Let's bring up Potcoin. This is a cryptocurrency.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. Eric and I were talking about it off air just before the show.
Another fake dollar, a fake
yeah, it's a cryptocurrency, and he thought it was new, and it actually been around for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's used primarily by marijuana dealers.
Oh, there you go. Makes
whether
sense.
Whether it's legal or illegal. But you know, cryptocurrencies are technically not traceable. So anyway, getting back to this, Potcoin is flying Dennis Rodman to the U.S. North Korea summit.
Nice.
You read that right.
Oh, we've got the worm going to the summit to help out Mr. Trump and Mr. Kim, I should say.
The headline pretty much says it all. But let me spell it out again here. Potcoin, a cryptocurrency a la Bitcoin that markets itself exclusively to the marijuana industry.
Unbelievable.
Has apparently agreed to send former NBA star Dennis Rodman to Singapore to help his friends Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un broker a peace deal.
Oh, lovely.
Rodman just,
what could go wrong?
Rodman just confirmed the trip on his Twitter feed.
Uh-huh.
Team at Prince_marketing. I will be flying to Singapore for the historical summit. I'll give whatever support is needed to my friends at Real Donald Trump and Marshal Kim Jong-un.
Oh, great. So yeah.
And then there's a link there.
That's enough to even talk. That's enough to even go further than that. I mean, Potcoin is
so.
Ay.
There's more in here. There's State Department spokesman that said that we have no comment on Dennis Rodman's private travel. He is not a representative of the U.S. government.
Yeah, but he'll be part of it. I'm sure he'll be.
The BBC reports that Rodman and Kim Jong Un might actually be friends, pointing out that North Korean state TV channels have closely covered the former basketball star's previous visits to the country. In one case, giving him a full 30 minutes of airtime.
Lovely.
And yes, Rodman knows Trump.
All right.
Okay? Because he fired him in 2014 from The Apprentice.
Well, there we go. There's our final straw there that'll make sure this whole thing goes down. Thanks to Potcoin and their fake currency. We'll be right back.
There are mysteries to the universe we were never meant to solve. But who we are and why we are here are not among them. Those answers.
See, I told you. See, doesn't you know, Optimus sound just like Ray?
And this message is to my creator.
There it is. Come on. And if you're listening on 96.5 HD2, man, boom. Right through your stereo speaker. So, yeah, we're simulcast. If you didn't know this, on 96.5 HD2, I really didn't know this, and the station doesn't do much to talk about it. It does say that it's on HD. You can get WTIC AM on its own, I think its own HD station as well. But if you want to try the FM band, it's kind of interesting, and it sounds different. Let's go to your calls. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's go to Don in Canton first. Morning, Don.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
For the last several days, I guess within the last week, almost every day now, or certainly every other day, when I go on the internet, you know, I'm using Windows 10, and I've got Edge for my browser.
All right.
And as soon as I click the Bluey for internet, you know, I get a message that comes right on. It's like a website. It's almost like a website because it shows up on the top bar too, and it says the screen is just full of like Windows. It says this is a Microsoft spyware alert, you got to call these numbers. You got to call those numbers right away, or we'll go into your financial records and you know your Facebook accounts and blah blah blah.
It's a
whole bunch of threats, and then it says. If you don't do what we say, will shut down your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't. What I've been doing is just turning it off, turning the system off every time. But
that's too.
As soon as I go back on again, it comes right up.
Right, that's a scam. So your browser's been hijacked. It's one of the reasons we don't recommend you use Microsoft Edge browser, period. Microsoft's browsers just don't do a good job at protecting folks, as far as we're concerned. It's been a problem ever since Blumenthal took on IE back in 1998 because of the monopoly. That browser's been a mess.
Right.
So number one, we wouldn't recommend you use the Edge browser. We'd recommend you use any browser besides Microsoft browser, whether it be Chrome or maybe Firefox. But yours has been hijacked, and that is a scam. And basically, the people you would call would then rip you off, take $300 of your money from a credit card, and then they would falsely tell you you're full of viruses. Spend a few hours because they're in the third world and nothing else to do on your computer, and then they would load more malware on your system so that you call them in the future. So
they've hijacked Edge, the browser.
Correct. It's a browser hijack, and you can download Malwarebytes to do a scan to try to remove it. You can clear the cache on your Edge browser. That will probably take care of it. But now you can easily have this reoccur on you if you continue to use the Edge browser without any kind of protections. And the protections we talk about all the time are free. It's called OpenDNS. And if you browse the internet using that free tool, I will almost guarantee you that you'll have a whole heck of a lot of a safer experience and not have these types of things occur, because it's going to block you from going to a site that could cause this problem.
Open DNS.
So what we're doing is telling you to go and use a safer information superhighway rather than the one your internet provider gives you, which is the Wild Wild West, wide open. This one will actually allow you to go to safe places and keep you off the bad places. And it's simple, and it's free. And I'll tell you also, your internet will go faster because you're on a better highway.
Well, I do. Just Google Open DNS.
How long have you listened to the show, Don?
Oh, years.
Why would I? You never Google nothing. Don't Google anything. We've got it down for you. We go to computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show, and go to our live links page. And we will put a link to OpenDNS. You can also go back to the archive links, and you'll see it mentioned many, many, many times. And that will give you the right link.
.com. Yep.
Googling is part of the problem. You can find yourself in some dark area of the internet, and boom, you're hit with this malware, and you're given some fake Microsoft tech guy $300.
I've got Firefox.
Yeah, go use Firefox.
I've got Mozilla. And yeah. I've got the old Internet Explorer.
Don't use that one either.
Okay.
Chrome or Firefox?
I've got Firefox, so I can go Firefox and then just Computer Talk with Tab.
Yeah, and then follow the instructions on using OpenDNS, and we'll be here till 11 if you have any questions. We're also going to put a link as to how to clear your Edge so that you can clear that cache in case somebody inadvertently uses your computer, okay?
Oh, you're going to put the clearing the cache out there?
Yeah, of course. Come on, Don. We're a full-service public service.
I know.
All right, Don.
So, OpenDNS is going
to
work.
Yeah, I got to go to a hard break, so hang on if you want to talk further. But, you can go out and take a look at it.
I'll go to the website.
Sounds
okay,
good.
You.
All right, Don. Bye-bye. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And remember, we're listening on. You can listen to us on WTIC News Talk 1080 AM. I think they also have an HD version of that. Also, you can find us on the simulcast on 96.5 HD2, which is kind of cool to listen to your AM station on FM in high definition. Also, we're on the podcast. You can listen to us streaming, radio.com. I mean, you can get to this station in so many great ways. No excuses. So feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're going to head off to Lubbock, Texas, and see what Kevin's got cooking. Hey, Kevin, what's up?
Hey, Eric, how's it going this morning?
Good. Thanks for listening down there. Where do you get us? Over the stream, I assume?
Yeah, I get, well, when I get up early enough, I catch you on the stream or listen to the podcast.
Awesome. Well, thanks for calling. What can I do for you, sir?
Yeah, biggest fan of you guys down here in Texas.
That's awesome.
So I've got, I work for a large transportation company, and I'm kind of the IT guy for our department.
Okay.
I've got some developers that have some Java code that runs on a Windows 2016 server.
Sure.
And the problem I've got, I've built them this virtual machine.
Yep.
And I've got a NetUse batch that runs to attach to different network locations for that script to run.
Yep.
But the problem is, every once in a while, those mapped drives become disconnected.
Right. Say,
for whatever reason. Talking to the developers, they kind of think, well, there's not a user logged in, and it's specific to that user profile. So I'm wondering if there's a better way to do that. Rather than that net use.
I'm trying to think. What do you think, Bob? It's per user. So it some users are fine. Others are not.
So well, these are two map.
So the batch runs as that user, the same user that's running the JavaScript.
Yeah.
But the, you know, I've got at startup we run this. We run our batch file to map the drives to the different network locations.
Right.
And it would be very rare that those network locations wouldn't be running when this virtual machine starts up.
What about mapping the drives when they log in as part of a group, as part of their policy, a group policy?
Yeah, that's kind of where what I've read and kind of where I need to start looking. I haven't messed with the group policy much. It's just, you know, that batch runs as that user and
right.
You could create a login script for each one of your users and have it applied when they log in through Active Directory.
Okay. So there, I think there's only two or three users on there, but then just apply it in Active Directory for
You could create a batch file and name it whatever the username is, .batch, and then put it in the net logon share. And then reference that in their profile on their in their Active Directory account, and as soon as they log in, it'll map it for you.
Yep.
Okay.
That would work.
Yeah, because I've got a couple Windows 7, Windows 10 machines all on this, and that method always works for those. But of course, they have users logged in and using the computer, so the server's been the trouble for me.
Yeah, and so give those ideas a try. If you want, you can always email me during the week and us during the week at Get Help, and we can see if we can further assist you on this mapping issue.
Yeah, sounds good. Because that it's running pretty well most of the time, and in my mind, I think, well, if it's that big of an issue and it has to be done that way, I don't know why they couldn't in their Java code just map it out with the UNC path rather than
the drive letter.
Upon a drive letter.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
You know, another thing you could do is you could put a shortcut to the batch file on the desktop so that when the mappings become disconnected,
they just run it.
You just run it. You could choose run as administrator and, you know, remap those drives.
Right, because your issue is the users are like, oh, Kevin, it doesn't work again, and you have to take care of that. But if you automate it for them, they can just run that batch for you, like Bob's saying. That's a great idea. Yeah, make it simple.
Yeah, to kind of back that up, I'll probably do some type of check. So if those drives aren't there, I can have it pass a message on into the network and email me or something. Because what ends up happening the next day, we've got all these reports that are kind of dependent upon these files uploading and doing all their copies. So we don't know until somebody says, hey, we didn't get a report today.
The other thing too, Kevin, again, not knowing enough about what you're trying to do here, is also step outside the box. Assume you've looked at this problem. You've already lived it, right? But just say, okay, if I had this issue, is there a whole different way I can approach this? Like you said about the fact that they've hard-coded the drive letters. You know, why couldn't they use UNC path, which is less dependent?
Right.
Think of things differently, because what happens even in our practice when we help our business clients, you've got clients that have been doing something for a decade this particular way because it was written by some well-meaning employee that's no longer there, and that's how it was done. He did it this old-fashioned way. So look at the problem and just say, you know what? If I got this problem from scratch, brand new, what would I do to make it better? Don't keep trying to make the thing that's not working work. Just try to look at the problem in a completely fresh and say, all right, I've never seen this problem before. How would I approach it if it was a brand new approach? And maybe you could even approach this whole thing completely differently by just stopping to try to stop trying to make the thing that's old work and start it fresh. And even ask the people that you're trying to give the deliverable to if there's a different way to get that deliverable without this mapped drive problem. You know what I'm trying to say? Look at it from different, like a 30,000 foot view rather than you're in the weeds and you're looking at it every day. You can find yourself trying to fix something that is kind of silly to fix if you just did it a different way.
Yeah, for sure. And that we've kind of over, we've had about 20-year-old equipment and we've just now done all these upgrades. And I tried to do away with the Windows servers altogether and just use Linux because we're just doing some basic file copies and it's pretty simple stuff. We don't need full Windows servers, but I got them down to one, so I feel like I won most of the battle.
That's good. That sounds great. If you don't need the Windows servers and you don't need the security, the key is the security, because Linux doesn't give you as much security as a domain can.
Right.
So, well, we gave you a few things to try, and again, feel free to email us at gethelp@tabinc.com if you still need other suggestions, especially during the week. I can bounce it off some of our other engineers at Tab.
Great. Sounds good. I appreciate the help, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Thanks for listening in Lubbock, Texas.
You bet.
All right. Have a good one. Bye-bye. So sometimes we find in our practice, it's like you're pulling your hair out. You know, the customer is like, I need you to do it this way, and this is how we've done it forever. And if you step back for a second and say, why the heck are we doing it that way? Can't we do it this? Can we just do it a whole different way?
See, if the user is trying to connect the mappings before the network is up, assuming that they're using wireless, you know, which takes a little longer to connect.
Yeah, they can fail.
Then that fails. But then if you had a shortcut to the link on the desktop, you know, to that batch file, then you can run that shortcut.
And reestablish
the mappings, and then it should run.
Yeah, it is kind of a weird thing at the year 2018. Map drives are still flaky.
Well, they always are going to be, as long as the network is flaky. You know, everybody wants wireless because it's more convenient, but, you know, wired always works.
Wired always works.
Until the switch fails.
Exactly. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Antoinette and John, hang on. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Again, if you're listening on the stream or the podcast and you're out of state here, the station will pay for it, 800-966-WTIC. Feel free to get online. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We have one line open, so feel free to do that. I want to also bring up a quick news story because I'm sure many of you were affected by this. Wednesday, Comcast had a huge outage of all their voice lines all over the country. Many of our clients here in Connecticut were affected with their plain old telephone lines not working. These are emulated POTS lines by the folks at Comcast. And most of Wednesday they were down, big chunks of Thursday they were down. And this story talks about that if you – this actually hit the British, the Register, my favorite tech site. So this was over the pond, across the pond, talking about this story. And Comcast said if you still had issues with your phone lines, that you should last resort is reboot your modem. And turn it back on again. So my point being that some of these businesses were affected in that they were literally, you know, life and death, right? Because you can't make phone calls. What are you going to do if you can't make a phone call, an emergency phone call? Some of the people were complaining about to that extent. And I thought immediately of Blumenthal. This is right up his alley. Why don't you start looking at pole neutrality, Senator, where, you know, right now Comcast has got its, you know, monopoly, and then you've got AT&T or Frontier, whichever you want to call them. And that's it. And if we had more choices on our poles, you know, free the pole, man. Pole neutrality, equal and unfettered access. You'd have other methods of communication, other fiber services that could easily step in and give you alternatives. Of course, it'll also reduce our cost.
We can't do that.
But that was a huge outage. If you had emulated copper lines through Comcast Wednesday and Thursday, you know exactly what I'm talking about. your phones did not work. And if you didn't have any failover to voice over IP, where your phone system was smart enough, like the one we sell, to go ahead and dial out over an internet-based service, you were out of luck, or you're forwarding your calls to your cell phones. We'll put a link up here for you. But, you know, if we had pole neutrality, free and equal access to our poles, and multiple vendors on those poles, we would be able to offer better competitors. Because then you could just punt the ones that aren't servicing you well and move on to the next one. Right now, you really can't punt much. Let's go on to East Long Meadow and John. John, what's up?
Good morning, gent.
Morning.
The other day, Wednesday or Thursday, I started getting a message that said, load disk space on local disk F, as in Frank.
Yep.
And normally I don't have a local disk F as in Frank unless I've got something plugged in. And I don't have any, you know, a USB stick or anything plugged in.
Yeah.
So I did looked at File Explorer, and sure enough, there's a disk on the apparently another partition on the hard drive.
Right.
It's only 455 megabytes big, and it says there's 32.2 megabytes free.
Right.
I looked at I tried to open it to see what was on it, and it says that the disk is empty.
They're probably hidden files.
It could be a recovery disk.
Okay, I assume that they are.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from. I don't know what I did. I did that the day before, or maybe that same day, I got a message saying that Microsoft wanted to install the April 2018
update. Yeah.
In June. So I said, sure, go ahead. And it happened after that, but I don't know if it's related. I don't know if it's accidental or something I did, but I'm guessing there's nothing happening with that thing, and I'd just like to get rid of it.
Don't do that. Don't do that, because it could be a recovery portion.
And also they put they'll put another partition on there that's your part of your boot drive.
Yeah.
So you probably need it. It may or may not have needed to be mapped. That depends on what the manufacturer did. It could be recovery.
Right. Is this a laptop or like an all-in-one or?
No, it's a desktop.
That's 400
megs. It's been running for however long Windows 10 has been around. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's so large. Are you sure it's 400 megs and not like 40 megs?
Not 455 megabytes, not gigabytes or anything.
Yeah, that's part of
your
system.
Oh, megabytes. Thank you.
That's part of your system.
Yeah.
You don't want to delete it.
No, it's tiny.
Theoretically, it shouldn't need to be mapped, but how it got mapped, who knows? But
yeah, I would not worry about it, John. It's most likely when they did the update, they applied some more hidden files to that area for recovery or what have you. It's 32 megs still being free is going to be fine.
How can I get rid? I keep getting that message saying that it's. Where does it say? It says you are running out of disk space on local disk F. Click here to see if you can free up space. And that, I guess that has a Windows cleanup and all.
Yeah.
I keep getting the message. How do I?
Can you clean it up? If you run the cleanup, does it offer anything on F to clean up for you?
No. It says you can
helpful Microsoft
up 0 bytes by running this. So there's nothing that'll make it go away. If I can just stop the message, that'd be a benefit.
I hear you.
Idea.
We can find out how you can suppress that. Maybe.
Yeah, when you get the message, you should be able to click on something, and I would bet you a nickel, not anything more than that, that there's an option to turn that off.
Yeah, we have to get to think about it as to how to remove that. Ah, here we come. Yeah, there's a way to do it. There's a April 2018 article here from Microsoft talking about how to remove the low disk space warning. So we can put a link.
I just right-clicked on the message, and it says turn off notification for Windows Explorer. Well, I'm using Mozilla. No.
So believe it or not, that's the Microsoft Explorer built into exploring your hard drives.
Oh, okay.
That is one of those misnomers of Microsoft. They felt they could call them the same thing and confuse everybody. So your Internet Explorer is different than when you right-click and explore your computer. So you do want to do that. That's probably the solution, is you just right-click. But we'll put a full link here for you. You can also do a registry hack, which I don't think I want you to do. But see if you can turn off the message right there. That might solve it for you. But we'll put the actual registry edit. Microsoft tells you.
I right-clicked on the thing, and they come up to Windows Explorer. There's a notifications switch, and it says
yeah.
It's on.
You can turn that off.
that's not going to do something. I mean, it's not going to shut any other notifications off.
It should just shut off that notification. I hope it's not going to shut off all notifications. Does it talk about the disk notification specifically, or just say notifications?
No, it's just I just clicked on that. No new notifications.
I just
clicked on the message and right clicked on it, and it said there's a one was. Well, there were two items there, one saying I shouldn't touch it, and the other one, I just clicked on it, and it opened up this Windows Explorer page, and it says notifications, which I...
You may have to drill down within that notifications page and look for drive notifications or disk notifications and see if you can turn off that one specific notification. It also could, though, affect your notifications on other drive letters. So the F drive being so tiny... is going to come up with this warning because 32 megs is a pretty small amount left on a 400 meg little tiny partition.
Yeah.
But it could be down to drive letter specific. I just haven't played with it enough to know off the top of my head. And, of course, Microsoft's not doing a really good job of showing you where to do it, which is typical.
I've got a link.
You got a good one?
It's a registry.
Yeah, it's the same one I was talking about.
Yeah, it's...
We don't want the registry hack.
No, we don't want John messing with the registry.
No. But we can do it. Let me see if we can find a specific. I would think he would try to turn that notification off for you. However, we got another caller. You know what? I like to do this. Another caller has an idea. So I'm going to take a professional risk here and bring on Jim from Bloomfield and see what we can do. My light's not lighting up. I'm going to see if this works. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So what's the answer for John? John, can you hear Jim?
Yeah, fine.
Look at this. All right, I've got you guys together. What's the answer, Jim?
Okay, I ran into this problem about 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
And the full disk part, the full space on disk partition message just keeps coming up in every minute or so. It's really annoying.
Yep.
If you scan the internet for, rather than doing... reg edits or stuff like that.
Right.
There's a command in Windows called disk part, D-I-S-K-P-A-R-T.
Yeah.
And...
Are you going to try to expand that?
Excuse me?
Are you going to try to expand the partition?
No.
Okay.
No, it basically... let's see, I can read this. Okay, we're hearing about people suddenly seeing an E drive after updating to the Windows April update. And this basically rehides the partition. What this article says, the partition was always on the hard drive.
Right.
It just showed up
with the Apple update
and hasn't been fixed.
Interesting. We can find this now that we understand what your thought is. We can look for that information for John and post it. Yep.
You type in disk part. And then you do a select volume, and F, I guess, in this guy's case.
Right.
And
you're going to rehide it.
Yeah, and then...
I'll look into that.
Yeah, John, we'll actually find the information that Jim's talking about. And thank you, Jim, for having gone through this and giving us a quick answer for this.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck with that. It's a really annoying problem.
Yes, it is. Thanks, Jim. That's Microsoft for you.
Yep.
There you go.
Always making it better with the April update. But I do appreciate the call. All right, so John, we'll put it up there for you. Thank you, Jim. And we'll get back to all your calls. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Antoinette and George, hang on. And we're going to have two lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.